Welcome to day 50 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are transitioning into the Amplified Translation for our readings of this week, and we are coming to the end of the book of Leviticus. We just have a few more days in this book, and then we will move into the book of Numbers. But today, we are reading Leviticus 19, 20, and 21. And in it, we will see a retelling of the Ten Commandments with some additions. We'll find the place where the Lord says you should love your neighbor as yourself, and then some very specific other instructions for the people of Israel to keep themselves holy and in right relationship with God. So let's begin today, Leviticus chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to all the assembly of the Israelites, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Each of you shall give due respect to his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths holy. I, the Lord, am your God. Do not turn to idols and things of naught, or make for yourselves molten gods. I, the Lord, am your God. And when you offer a sacrifice, a peace offering to the Lord, you shall offer it so that you may be accepted. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the day following. And if anything remains until the third day, it shall be burned in the fire. If it is eaten at all the third day, it is loathsome. It will not be accepted. But everyone who eats it shall bear his iniquity, for he has profaned a holy thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from his people and not be included in the atonement made for them. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field to its very corners, neither shall you gather the fallen ears or gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather its fallen grapes. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal or deal falsely or lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud or oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall reverently fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judging a case. You shall not be partial to the poor or show a preference for the mighty, but in righteousness and according to the merits of the case, judge your neighbor. You shall not go up and down as a dispenser of gossip and scandal among your people, nor shall you secure yourself by false testimony or by silence and endanger the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall surely rebuke your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take revenge or bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your domestic animals breed with a different kind of animal. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, neither wear a garment of linen mixed with wool. And if a man lies carnally with a woman who is a slave betrothed to a husband and not yet ransomed or given her freedom, they shall be punished after investigation. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. But he shall bring his guilt or trespass offering to the Lord to the door of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt or trespass offering. The priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt or trespass offering before the Lord for his sin, and he shall be forgiven for committing the sin. And when you come into the land and have planted all kinds of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit of them as inedible and forbidden to you for 3 years. It shall not be eaten. In the fourth year, all their fruit shall be holy, for giving praise to the Lord. but in the fifth year you may eat of the fruit of the trees, that their produce may enrich you. I am the Lord your God. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use magic, omens, or witchcraft, or predict events by horoscope or signs and lucky days. You shall not round the corners of the hair of your heads, nor trim the corners of your beards, as some idolaters do. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print or tattoo any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not profane your daughter by causing her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Turn not to those mediums who have familiar spirits or to wizards. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. You shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and reverently fear your God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger dwells temporarily with you in your land, you shall not suppress and mistreat him. But the stranger who dwells with you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have accurate and just balances, just weights, just ephah and hin measures. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall observe all my statutes and ordinances and do them. I am the Lord. Chapter 20. And the Lord said to Moses, Moreover, you shall say to the Israelites, Any one of the Israelites or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech, the fire god worshipped with human sacrifices, shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I also will set my face against that man, opposing him, withdrawing my protection from him, and excluding him from my covenant, and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his children to Molech, defiling my sanctuary and profaning my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all hide their eyes from the man, when he gives one of his children as a burnt offering to Molech the fire god, and they overlook it or neglect to take legal action to punish him, winking at his sin, and do not kill him as my law requires, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off from among their people, him and all who follow him, to unfaithfulness to me, and thus play the harlot after Molech. The person who turns to those who have familiar spirits and to wizards, being unfaithful to Israel's maker, who is her husband, and thus playing the harlot after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people, that he may not be included in the atonement made for them. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His blood guilt is upon him. The man who commits adultery with another's wife, even his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man who lies carnally with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of the guilty ones shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon their own heads. And if a man lies carnally with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, perversion, and defilement. Their blood shall be upon their own heads. If a man lies with a male as he were a woman, both men have committed an offense, something perverse, unnatural, abhorrent, and detestable. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man takes a wife and her mother, it is wickedness and an outrageous offense. All three shall be burned with fire, both he and they, after being stoned to death, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lies carnally with a beast, he shall surely be stoned to death, and you shall slay the beast. If a woman approaches any beast and lies carnally with it, you shall stone the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes his sister, his father's, or his mother's daughter and sees her nakedness and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked and shameful thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has had sexual relations with his sister. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her menstrual pains and shall uncover her nakedness, he has made naked her fountain and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for that is to make naked his close kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie carnally with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless, not literally, but in a legal sense. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless, not literally, but in a legal sense. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and my ordinances and do them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out as it did those before you. You shall not walk in the customs of the nations which I am casting out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I was wearied and grieved by them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land. I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore make a distinction between the clean beast and the unclean, and between the unclean fowl and the clean, and you shall not make yourselves detestable with beast or with bird or with anything with which the ground teems or that creeps, which I have set apart from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. A man or woman who is a medium and has a familiar spirit or is a wizard shall surely be put to death. Be stoned with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Chapter 21. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, exclusive of the high priest, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, that none of them shall defile himself for the dead among his people by touching a corpse or assisting in preparing it for burial, except for his near blood kin, for his mother, father, son, daughter, brother, and for his sister, a virgin who is near to him, because she has had no husband, for her he may be defiled. He shall not even defile himself, being a bereaved husband, his wife not being his blood kin, or being a chief man among his people, and so profane himself. The priests, like the other Israelite men, shall not shave the crown of their heads, or clip off the corners of their beards, or make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God, and not profane the name of their God, for they offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord, the bread of their God, therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife who is a harlot, or polluted, or profane, or divorced, for the priest is holy to his God. You shall consecrate him, therefore, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord who sanctifies you, am holy. The daughter of any priest who profanes herself by playing the harlot profanes her father. She shall be burned with fire after being stoned. But he who is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to put on the sacred garments, shall not let the hair of his head hang loose or rend his clothes in mourning. Neither shall he go in where any dead body lies, nor defile himself by doing so, even for his father or his mother. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor desecrate or make ceremonially unclean the sanctuary of his God, for the crown or consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. He shall take a wife in her virginity. A widow or a divorced woman or a woman who is polluted or profane or a harlot, these he shall not marry, but he shall take as a wife his wife, a virgin of his own people, that he may not profane or dishonor his children among his people. For I, the Lord, do sanctify the high priest. And the Lord said to Moses, Say to Aaron, Any one of your sons in their successive generations who has any blemish, let him not come near to offer the bread of his God. For no man who has a blemish shall approach God's altar to serve as priest. A man blind or lame, or he who has a disfigured face or a limb too long, or who has a fractured foot or hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or has a defect in his eye, or has scurvy or itch or scabs or skin trouble, or has damaged testicles. No man of the offspring of Aaron the priest who has a blemish and is disfigured or deformed shall come near the altar to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He has a blemish, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy things, but he shall not come within the veil or come near the altar of incense, because he has a blemish, that he may not desecrate and make unclean my sanctuaries and hallowed things. For I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And Moses told it to Aaron and to his sons and to all the Israelites. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In today's scripture reading, we find a wide variety of laws and statutes that the Lord gives to the Israelites. And you can see by hearing this, the vastness of the areas covered by these particular statutes, that the Lord is trying to lay down a foundation for a godly society, for community, where people will have respect for one another, where there will be an appreciation for the elderly, where there will be kindness to the poor. We really see God's heart come out, and it's a heart of love. We see the Lord instructing them that they should, when they reap the harvest of their land, that they're not to take every single grain and every single grape in their vineyard, but instead they are to leave the gleanings for the poor to come behind. In other words, they're to leave some of that produce in the field and in the vineyard, so that the poor and the stranger, which is the foreigner who's visiting the land, will be able to gather some food, and they are not to prevent them from doing so. In fact, that it's provision for the poor. So we see God's heart here. We also saw that the Lord instructed them to be careful to treat people with disabilities properly. You shall not curse the deaf. It's talking about you have someone who can't hear and yet you're speaking evil of them, and it's intentional. The idea is of having respect for people who have handicaps. It says don't put a stumbling block before the blind. So again, the idea of making provision for people with handicaps and disabilities. The scripture goes on to warn them not to be unjust when they're judging a case, and that they're not to show partiality for a poor person or partiality toward a rich person, but instead simply judge righteously according to the merits of the case. Don't be preferential towards one or the other. Hear it and do a right judgment in every case. So we see the Lord giving the people of Israel and all peoples who would accept God's word as foundation for their lives a way to live in society and to prosper. We see also even the injunction for people not to become a gossip. You shall not go up and down as a dispenser of gossip and scandal among your people. Now that should be told to some of these newspapers whose entire content is the repeating of gossip and scandal. So these all bring us the heart of God, not to be harsh with people, but to have a heart for people. The Lord tells the Israelites in verse 17 of chapter 19, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. And it goes on in verse 18 to say, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this word is so powerful and is repeated in the Gospels, in the New Testament, that this is the heart of God for relationships with people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. As we previously stated in a prior broadcast when we were going over the Ten Commandments, the last six commandments, which deal exclusively with relationships with other people, and the first four deal exclusively with our relationship with God, but these last six can be summed up in this one word here in Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's God's heart for people. God is a God of love. He wants people to love Him, love God, and love their neighbors. And you love your neighbor by not harming your neighbor in any possible way. That's why all these injunctions about being fair, paying your employees, not withholding their wages. You heard all these various things as we read the scripture today. There's several other interesting admonitions here in this book of these chapters of Leviticus that I want to bring to your attention. Did you notice that there are several references here in these particular chapters about not turning to or relying on mediums with familiar spirits or to wizards or to practicing magic or witchcraft or predicting events by horoscopes or lucky signs and the like? What is that a reference to? Back in that time, there were people who functioned as witches or wizards or mediums, spiritists. We call them psychics today in many cases. And there are absolute prohibitions against God's people turning to those types of spiritists and spiritual metaphysical type people indulging in those particular practices, that God's people are not to turn to those people for counsel, for guidance, for information. It's forbidden for the people of God. And today, I know of people who would call themselves Christians, who go to church, who read their horoscope every day. And yet, it's clearly forbidden. You shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall you use magic, omens, or witchcraft, or predict events by horoscope, or signs, and lucky days. And then it goes on further down, don't turn to mediums, don't turn to psychics, don't turn to wizards, don't turn to spiritists, do not seek them out to be defiled by them. That's what the scripture says, that if you go to those types of sources for information, for guidance, for predictions for your life, you're going to be defiled, made unclean, tainted, contaminated by that. Because God says, I am the Lord your God. Don't go to a false source of power, such as people who indulge in witchcraft and psychic phenomenon and that sort. They are dealing in the spiritual realm, but the source of their power is demonic. It's from the enemy of your soul. He dwells in the spiritual realm. The devil is a being that God has clearly said to us. He's the accuser of the brethren, according to the book of Revelation. He's the enemy of your soul. Jesus himself said that he's a thief and one who has come only to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you get involved in his kingdom, and he has a certain spiritual kingdom until the Lord brings a complete end to the earth as we know it, and the new heavens and the new earth come, and it's that time, and there's a day that that actually will occur. And at that point, the scriptures teach us that the devil and all his hordes of demons, the angels who followed Satan, they will be dealt with. But at this point in time, before that time comes, when they are given their final judgment, they're still operational. They are operating in the spiritual realm, and you can have contact with the devil and his demons, and you can do so by getting involved in spiritism and psychics and mediums and wizard and witchcraft and all of that realm. And when you do that, the scripture says you defile yourself, you contaminate yourself, you bring an uncleanness into your life. And I would go farther to say it's dangerous for any person to dabble in that realm. It will bring you nothing but trouble. The Lord tells us don't go there. We are warned here. The Lord can give you every answer you need. The Lord can give you his insight for the future, for your life. You can get direct guidance from God. You do not have to seek out people who are dabbling in a demonic realm of the spirit world. If you believe God, if you know God, if you have relationship with people who walk with God, you can hear from God. And if you're young in the Lord and you haven't developed the ability to hear the voice of God for yourself, go to somebody who is a spiritual leader, who can hear from God, who can pray with you and give you godly counsel and advisement and advice. And you can have what you need, what you really need, and it won't bring defiling into your life. It won't bring trouble into your life. It won't open a door to the enemy to bring destruction into your life. Instead, it'll bring a blessing. Do not go there. That is a dangerous business, and it will bring trouble, not blessing, to your life. The other issue I want to touch on that was mentioned here is the strong words that the Lord gave to the Israelites in chapter 20. When the Lord said, and I'll read these couple of verses and listen carefully and see if there's something in our current society that reminds you of this. The Lord said to Moses, "Moreover, you shall say to the Israelites, any one of the Israelites or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech, the fire god worshipped with human sacrifices, shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones." It goes on in verse 3 to say, "I will also set my face against that man, opposing him, withdrawing my protection from him, and excluding him from my covenant, and will cut him off from among his people because he has given of his children to Molech, defiling my sanctuary and profaning my name." Now listen to verse 4. "And if the people of the land do at all hide their eyes from the man when he gives one of his children as a burnt offering to Molech, the fire god, and they overlook it or neglect to take legal action to punish him, winking at his sin, and don't kill him as my law requires, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off from among their people, him and all who follow him, to unfaithfulness to me and thus play the harlot after Molech." Now, what was that all about? Well, in the time that the Israelites were in the wilderness and heading toward the promised land, there was a people called the Ammonites who worshipped a god, a false god that they called Molech. And the practice of these idolaters, these people who worship this fire god, was to take their children and lay him on this type of statue that was built up to Molech. He had his arms outstretched. They would heat that idol, this metal idol, up as hot as it could. And in the inside of it, kind of in the belly of this big statue, was a fire. And when they would place the child on the arms, it was positioned in such a way that child would roll down and be dropped into the fire. It was a very wicked, horrific type of child sacrifice done to this horrific god, false god called Molech. And they were trying to appease this false god of the land and would offer up their children trying to get his favor. Well, this is a horrible picture, and we can't even imagine any such thing today, can we? Can you imagine anyone doing such a thing? Well, maybe we have something that is quite similar today in our society, although it looks much more sophisticated, and it really wears a much more sophisticated robe, you could say. And by that, it is made acceptable in our society. We live in a day when in the United States alone, more than 1 million children are killed every single year through abortion. Way more than 1 million. They don't know the exact amount because California, which most likely has the highest abortion rate of any of the states, has refused since the late 1990s to provide the statistics from the state of how many abortions are being performed in the state of California. So those statistics, they refuse to give them to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, that actually compiles those statistics. So without California's numbers, it's hard to know the exact amount or number of abortions that are being performed, but it is in excess of 1.25 million without California statistics in it. So let's just use that number of 1 million, which we know it's in excess, but let's say more than 1 million children are killed every single year in the United States under this guise of abortion, which has become in society an acceptable. It's legal according to the law. It's legal to abort a child. It's legal for a mother to go into an abortion clinic, pay the money, and have their child killed without any legal ramifications. We know that there are horrific emotional ramifications because studies have been done on women who've had abortions and the emotional trauma that they have dealt with after having had an abortion, even by their own free will, having chosen that, and yet the guilt and shame and different things that they suffer with after aborting their own child. How is this like the sacrifice to Molech? Well, the reasons given, and these are taken from the information provided by these abortion clinics. They have the women fill out particular papers and ask them the reason for their need for the abortion. And the main reasons that are given are primarily three. 3/4 of the women say that having a baby would interfere with their life, whether it's work, school, or other responsibilities. About 3/4 of the women say that they can't afford the child, and approximately 50% say they don't want to be a single parent, or they're having problems with their husband or partner. And I say all of that to point out that the reasons for aborting or killing their babies are all very self-centered. It's going to interfere with my lifestyle. I don't have enough money to take care of this child in the way that I would like to. Or I'm having problems in my relationship, so this child's going to be more of a problem. And we see that the reasoning that's given for the abortions all three of those, which were the main three reasons, all are very self-centered. That they were not, only 1% of the women who were went in for abortions reported that they were survivors of rape, and that was the reason that they wanted to abort the child. And only 12% said it had there was a health reason that they were concerned about bearing the child to full term. So the majority of the reasons just were for their own convenience of their life. And we look at that issue in the United States, and this is a worldwide issue because many of the nations in Europe, there's also high abortion rates in other nations, not just the United States, but I'm giving you the figures that are available here in the U.S. And the reality is that our country, in the United States, we're sacrificing children on the altar of our convenience, on the altar of our self-centeredness, on the altar of our own lack of love and lack of concern for another human being. And that is not unlike that idol, Molech, reaching out his hands to take the child in the days when the Ammonites and the people of the land were worshiping this false god by sacrificing their children. This is a serious thing for us as believers to recognize that abortion is a sin, that abortion is the taking of a life. And God has forbidden murder in the Ten Commandments, and He's also forbidden sacrificing our children. Child sacrifice was forbidden quite clearly in Leviticus for the people of God. If you've had an abortion, don't take this as judgment of you. Like any sin that we commit, and we all have committed sins, even if it's only been in our minds, we have all committed sins. Abortion is a sin, but it's not worse than other sins that people have committed. It is not worse than any other, but it is sin in God's eyes. And for us who are believers, and whether you are, maybe you're not a believer, you have to understand that God loves you no matter what sin you're committing, but He put into place His laws, His commandments, His statutes, so that we could be in right relationship with God and right relationship with one another and for our own benefit, so that our life would go well for us. If you've had an abortion, you just need to go to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to remove the shame, remove the guilt, remove the heaviness out of your life from that, and ask Him to restore you and give you a heart like God has. You know, God loves that unborn child that you aborted. That child's in heaven with God now. And when you eventually go to heaven, you will see that child, and it'll be a happy reunion, not a sorrowful one. Because the Word says there's no sorrows in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. And that's the amazing thing about our merciful God, that even if we have aborted a child in our own lifetime, whether you're a man or a woman, if you had participated in encouraging somebody to abort a child, you need to repent for that as well and ask God's forgiveness and let that be cleansed out of your life, because this is something so harmful to the people who are involved. It hurts you. It hurts the people maybe you influenced to have an abortion. And ask the God Himself to forgive and cleanse, and with God's help, begin to be somebody who speaks out for life and for the life of children and for the life of the woman who's carrying an unborn child, who might be in a very difficult situation and might think abortion is the best option. But the truth is, God loves that unborn child and will do whatever it takes to bless that child, and even in giving it an adoptive family if that is something that needs to be done. If the young woman cannot take care of that child, there are many, many, many families in the United States who are longing to adopt children and yet are unable to because there aren't any available, and they're going to foreign countries to adopt children just because of that issue. So don't think there isn't a good resolution for this. There is. But let's all regardless of where you are in life, whether you're a man or a woman, old or young, let us all come into agreement with God's word that it's never God's will to sacrifice a child under any circumstances, to kill a child, to agree with the death of a child. But instead, God's a God of life and blessing, and He can bring even an unborn child born in very unhappy circumstances, He can bring a blessing into that child's life and through that child's life. God is able to do that. There are testimonies after testimonies of many people who the mother brought the child to full term and yet had considered aborting it, and yet the life of that child that they decided not to abort has become a great blessing. So I just encourage you, let's take the word of God to heart. Let's agree with the word of God. And no matter how hard it is, God will make a way if you're going through a situation like this or you know someone who is. And for our nation and for the nations who have abortion as a serious issue in their country, and this is something that's freely being done as it is in the United States, we need to pray for our nations that the sin of the blood of these slain children would be cleansed from our land, because it is defiling our country and bringing seriously a curse on the nation because of the deaths or the murder of all these unborn children. Let's pray and believe God for just a change in our nation and a change in the hearts of people so that they would see children and unborn children with the same value as God does, that they are precious in His sight, and that He has a plan and a purpose that He can bring to pass for them. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.